To look at Pratchett, you wouldn't think he's strong. Legs like breadsticks. Arms like the rolled bologna his mom packs in his lunch every school day. His neck juts forward, so when he runs through Birdwell Park, he looks like a demented turkey. He does not appear to represent MVP material, is what I'm saying. But for reasons none of the PE teachers at Lyndon B. Johnson Middle School can figure out, Pratchett's left arm is a Gettysburg cannon. I mean, our friend throws heat. That's how Hoag ended up squirming on the grass late on a cloudy Monday afternoon in April, clutching his most sensitive parts. "I'm sorry," Pratchett shouted, his own hands clamped down in the dark bramble of his hair. "I didn't think it would work." "What wouldn't work? The ball?" Hoag hissed, glaring at the softball at his side. He held on to his valuables as if someone were coming to steal them. Stupid ball games always ended badly. Last time me and my three friends, Hoag, Jared, and Pratchett, played it, we took out a yellow baby stroller. Luckily, the baby wasn't in it, because the stroller did a complete 1.5 somersault and landed upside down, one wheel rolling in the air. The mom rushed to the scene in a few long steps, leaving her baby dangling in the swing.
"What are you boys even doing?" she shrieked. "Why were you running backwards?"
"Because the score's tied," Pratchett had said, wiping stray blades of grass from his face. Pratchett loved to explain things, especially to grown-ups. "See, if there's a tie at the 6-minute mark, we have a backwards sprint from the big tree to the trash can." Pratchett pointed out these important field markers as he spoke. "And the loser has to do cartwheels, not round-offs."
"I don't care,"
the mom shouted, cutting him off.
"Then why'd you ask?" Hoag said.
The time before that, the Birdwell Park groundskeeper turned on the sprinklers right when Jared and I were starting the extra point bicycle joust. A jet of water shot into my left eye, and I veered into a pile of gravel that was sitting there for some reason. You can add the groundskeeper to the list of people I'm pretty sure don't like us. This time it was Hoag and his unfortunate package. "You okay?" I asked, putting a hand on Hoag's shoulder. I hated seeing him this way. Hoag's clowning skills were legendary. He could turn anything into a laugh. Mr. Easton, our science teacher, once called him the funniest kid I've ever been this annoyed at. Hoag pushed himself to his feet. He shouted in an impossibly high falsetto,
"I feel great!"
He chirped it out like a squeaky balloon, shoving a fist in the air for punctuation. Now Hoag was standing while the rest of Beef Squad, that's our name, I'll explain later, writhed on the grass in laughter. Stupid ball never ended well, but whatever disaster it led to was usually hilarious. Hoag wasn't done.
"I'm ready to take on the world," he peeped. "Nothing's gonna keep me down, you hear? I'm going straight to the top, Buster. Next stop, the big time."
He held the goalkeeper's tennis racket up in triumph, like the gold guy on top of a trophy. My tears were soaking the grass with dangerous levels of saline when a much lower voice boomed from the parking lot.
"Hey, look, it's Butt Squad."
Scott Decker had found us.